Good morning. We will come to order and try to move forward with today's March 23rd meeting of the Finance Committee. Is everybody enjoying spring in Washington? Ah, Mr. Lavin, we need a message from you as Chief Safety Officer, safety contact.
Good morning, everyone. Today's safety contact is going to be embed safety into your daily activities. Prior to that, in the event of an emergency, we're going to egress through the main doors or the closest emergency exits, which are illuminated by an exit sign. We'll assemble at the lawn at the National Building Museum. An automatic external defibrillator is available behind the guard station. Fire extinguishers are strategically placed throughout the building. In addition, restrooms are located past the guard desk on the left. What does it mean to embed safety into your daily activities? It means driving defensively and using seatbelts in our vehicles. It also means applying safety practices at home, including wearing safety shoes when mowing the lawn, wearing safety eyewear while hammering nails, using lighter fluid to start a charcoal grill instead of gasoline, or turning off a circuit breaker before replacing a light fixture. I'm sure that based upon the examples described above, many of you may be visualizing negative outcomes that can occur from taking shortcuts on safety. I would like everyone to develop the habit of thinking about safety on the way to work, during their work day, as well as at home and on vacation. Before starting a job that is potentially dangerous, think about the consequences of your actions and take the extra step of using the proper safety equipment for that task. Thank you all. Have a safe day.
Thank you, Mr. Lavin. Now let's see if we can get our administrative business out of the way. You've all received the agenda for this morning's Finance Committee meeting. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So the agenda is approved as amended. The next order of business is the approval of the minutes from our Finance Committee meeting earlier in March, of March 9, 2017. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from that meeting? Thank you. Second?
Second.
All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The minutes are approved as presented. We have two action items on today's agenda that were carried over from our meeting of 2 weeks ago. The first is the fiscal year 2018 capital improvement program and the capital financing agreement extended for 1 year to cover FY 2018. And the second issue is the long-term debt issuance authorizations. You'll recall that we approved last time the general manager's fiscal year 2018 proposed operating budget with amendments to bus service. Although no further committee action is required this morning on the operating budget, Mr. Anasaki will provide us with a brief recap of those bus changes to the FY18 budget, including the restoration of a significant amount of Metro bus service and some increase in subsidy for various of the jurisdictions. After we've completed that, we will then turn to the two action items for this morning. These include the General Manager's revised capital improvement program for fiscal year 2018 and the six-year program from 2018 through 2023, as well as a one-year extension of the region's capital funding agreement for Metro. Then the committee will consider the debt issuance items. There are three of them: a request to refund a portion of Metro's outstanding debt for savings. Then a second issue is to increase Metro's line of credit. And a third is to authorize a long-term debt capacity to support the capital improvement program and to provide some flexibility in managing our operating budget cash flow. So first, I will turn to the general manager, who wants to make some overall comments on this budget and the way forward. And then, Mr. Anasaki, we'll turn to you for a recap on the bus changes to the operating budget and the summary of the capital budget.
Okay. Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to first thank, obviously, the work that you've done as chair of this committee, Chairman Evans, and the entire board members for your leadership on the budget. It's been months of hard work. We've, I believe, built a consensus, and we've led to some key compromises to get us to this point. What we are presenting today for your consideration is a balanced sacrifice between all the funding partners, Metro management, employees, and our customers. As managers of the system, we've taken a number of significant actions to cut costs, and we'll continue to look for opportunities to reduce our costs by being more efficient and productive in the work we do through 18 and into the future. Just as important, if not more importantly, we also continue to focus on providing a safe and more reliable system to bring back customers, to bring back ridership, to bring back revenues. So we'll continue to do that. But as important as today's committee actions are, the board's vote, and hopefully the board's vote later today at the board, we're still facing, both Metro and the region, still facing the looming financial issues, for sure. Given constrained budgets at the local, state, and federal levels of government, combined with the negative impacts of raising fares, going forward, we have to address the financial issues required for the safe and reliable service. There are two priorities for the region that must be tackled this year. Long-term capital funding needs to maintain safe and reliable service, and Metro's unsustainable cost model. Simply put, much more needs to be done to address the funding needs and control costs that management actions alone cannot solve. Recognizing that we are at a critical junction, I have already begun to determine Metro's capital and operating requirements going forward, and will come out with those next month. The requirements and recommendations I lay out will be specific, actionable, and ambitious in terms of providing the tools we need to effectively manage this agency and to safely and efficiently deliver reliable service to our customers. I look forward to working with the board and the stakeholders in the region as we move forward in solving some of the long-recognized financial issues facing the agency so we can provide the Metro system required for the economic future of this region and the quality service our customers deserve. So thank you for that. I just wanted to give you a sense that, you know, as we move forward beyond the 18, getting past the 18 budget, we have to start to deal with the big issues in front of us, and I will be much more engaged in doing that in the next few months.
And you're going to present us something with that next month.
I will.
I thought you'd give us a month off to see the cherry blossom.
No, sir, we need to start to move very quickly. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Anasaki, first we'll deal with the operating budget. Could you give us an update on what issues have been resolved in terms of the bus route changes and the changes to subsidy requirements for the various jurisdictions? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Paul. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, our first item today is approval of the General Manager's 6-year capital improvement program and 1-year extension to the CFA. Just as a recap, the committee approved the General Manager's revised FY18 operating budget on March 9th, along with amendments that the chairman just referred to that restored some bus routes across the region and increased fares on the Dallas and BWI bus routes. Altogether, those amendments increased the FY18 jurisdictional subsidy by $3.3 million. And with that, proportional increases to the district, to the state of Maryland, and to Commonwealth in line with the service level adjustments in those jurisdictions. And all jurisdictions are satisfied with the numbers that have been shared with their staff. These updates are reflected in the package of materials for board consideration later today at this meeting. At that meeting, staff also presented the proposed capital program and CFA extension, but committee action again was deferred to today. However, the capital improvement program that the board is going to consider today is the same as was presented to the committee at that date, except for the reduction of $75.9 million, which I will describe a little bit later. Since then, however, the FTA has approved Metro's plan for the use of prayer funds contained in the capital program. With that approval, Metro is in a position to quickly submit and transmit grant applications to FTA as soon as the board approves the FY18 budget. As we discussed 2 weeks ago, the budget resolution authorizes the general manager to adjust preventive maintenance budget to help recover old grant fund expenses from FTA without impacting subsidy contributions, as well as to reprogram capital projects in line with project delivery needs, again, without going over what the board has authorized. I want to stress that any increase to the capital budget that exceeds that level will still require board approval. Finally, the debt requested in the CFA extension has been temporarily reduced by $75 million. The reason for that is to give jurisdictions time to address issues with respect to the reconciliation of the FY11 to 16 CFA reconciliation. We are hopeful that that will be resolved soon, but to the extent that that's not resolved, we will be coming back to this board for alternative proposals to increase resources available to support the capital program. Mr. Chairman, with that, staff recommends approval of the 2018 to 23 capital improvement program, as well as the one-year CFA extension.
Thank you, Mr. Anasaki. Let's move forward and entertain a motion for approval of the FY18 capital improvement program and a one-year extension of the capital funding agreement, and then with a second we'll open up to some discussion of that before voting on it, and then we'll move on to the debt instrument authorizations. So do I, can I have a motion for approval of the FY18 capital budget and the capital funding agreement, one-year extension? Second?
Second.
Is that a second? Thank you. Open up to discussion. Let me just ask two questions to move forward, just to close the circle on the operating budget issues. The $3 million increase for subsidy that the bus route changes that we voted on last time and approved, that $3 million has been reviewed with each of the jurisdictions and all of the jurisdictions that share in that $3 million increase approve of it?
That's correct.
And so just to summarize, we had gone into the $290 million gap with a request of the jurisdictions to increase their subsidy by $130 million over FY17. So am I correct to state that the total subsidy requirement for the jurisdictions is now $133 million?
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay. Other questions from members of the committee on the operating budget or on the capital budget?
Next question.
Good. Mr. Augustine, I thought you would.
No. I noted that there it appears as though there were some changes on some of the priorities. Just from a process standpoint, are we just approving the overall number, or are we approving these lines? Because I noted that you did make some changes in the amount of spend on, I believe, like the passenger facilities and the paratransit, just for clarification.
Right. Those changes were discussed at the committee last time, again tied to the project delivery schedules. The request to the board is to approve the overall capital program with the flexibility for the general manager to adjust those consistent with the spending needs of specific capital projects.
Stranger?
Yeah, I have just two questions related to the reporting related to capital projects. It's my understanding that the concern that the jurisdictions have with regard to this $79 million of bond issuance has to do with just getting reconciliation of kind of what spending was done with what sources of funds, you know, over what period of time. And if there is, you know, more disclosure on the part of WMATA, I think the expectation is that we might add those or authorize additional bonding authority to management. So one, what effort is underway to make sure that the jurisdictions have a firm understanding of those cash flows? And then secondarily, while in principle I don't have any issue with granting management more flexibility to you know, make adjustments to the capital program as long as it's, you know, within the budgeted amounts. It's very, you know, consistent with the way that Paul and other executives in Maryland managed their capital programs when I was there. But with that also comes a responsibility, I think, of management to provide, you know, some clarity about what those puts and takes are going to be. It's basically the same question. You know, we can be supportive of the financing, we can be supportive of the flexibility, but what effort is underway to make sure we know what these, you know, movements actually represent in terms of, you know, scale and scope? Is that something that the new program management team is going to be much more involved with? Is that the gentleman that was just hired from MTA is going to be kind of helping Tom and the finance team provide that level of clarity? I know that's been frustrating for staff and executives at different transportation agencies in the region.
Let me, if I could just address the Mr. Craig Stewart, who's coming on. Yeah, we had that conversation, which is, again, it'll be more like the quarterly process that I think you're familiar with, where basically it's project by project, up and down, sideways, what's going on. And, again, staying within the overall cap of the capital budget, but basically being just transparent on what happened in the quarter, and that's what happened. I mean, we're not bringing in projects that you haven't heard of. It's just that we're moving them to deliver them quicker and take advantage of the financial opportunities we have. That's what we'll do. But I've been very clear to him that is a big priority for him to create that whole program. And that is what he's done in New York.
Did that answer both parts of your question?
With respect to the CFA reconciliation, we provided the reconciliation report as promised to the jurisdictions prior to December 31st of last year. And since then, have had conversations with some sort of jurisdictional partners. Some questions have arisen in recent weeks, which we are engaged in trying to provide additional clarifications. But the story is really quite simple. The CFA contemplated debt. That debt was not issued. And in the aggregate, there's a $75.9 million balance, which we need to pay, which was paid for using the line of credit. And if we think about this in our own personal homes, that debt remains outstanding and continues to accrue interest until it's paid off. I mean, that's really what we're attempting to do.
Thank you, Mr. Nasaki. If it were that simple, we'd have resolved it by now, I guess. Just for the benefit of Mr. Dorsey and Mr. Bulger, we have a motion on the floor for approval of the FY18 capital budget and for approval of the one-year extension of the capital funding agreement for FY18. We're now in a phase of discussion before we actually take a vote on that matter. So it brings us up to date. Other questions? Question. Sorry.
Christian, were you going to question? Or you?
So I'll do a question and then perhaps a comment. So just picking up on this line of conversation, and I apologize for being late. So approving it without the reconciliation amount of $76 million seems to me that's not a costless exercise. If we expect that the jurisdictions are going to be paying for that at some point in the future, the way that we resolve that in the near term is by either extending, as you mentioned, the short-term debt, or we have to come to a jurisdiction at a later date when perhaps market conditions are not as favorable for the debt that we foresee right now. This could, in fact, be a costlier way of financing an obligation that will ultimately come due no matter what. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I think we should just be very clear that, you know, this action, while there's still some issues outstanding and people would like some further clarification, this will, unless the $76 million comes off the books, we are going to actually be paying more for that money unless we actually do an action of rolling that in to the CIP today. So, you know, it is what it is. I certainly don't want to suggest that people shouldn't have all of their questions resolved, but this will come at a greater cost to all of our funding jurisdictions than if we were to do that action today.
Yeah. just technically, it's not an issue of moving it into the capital improvement program. It's a question of putting it in the amount of the debt authorization, which is the second item that we will vote on today. And at least it's the chair's hope that the parties will be able to reach some resolution over the next 3 to 4 weeks. And when we come back at the finance and board meeting at the end of next month, April, we will be able to approve an increase in the long-term debt authorization to cover that $75.9 million.
It's just not a costless exercise, that's all.
So what will happen if the answers are not given in the next 3 to 4 weeks so that an adjustment can be made here, because there are 5, 6, 7, 8 other jurisdictions that need to authorize their budgets with this, and this does have an impact on jurisdictional budgets going forward, and it hurts the flexibility that the agency has with funding short-term debt, because we're taking up capacity on our short-term debt. So what assurances do we have that this is going to be taken care of?
I don't know that we have any assurances. I think we just we'll have to see what happens over the next 3 months, next 3 weeks at the end of that period. It's a bridge that I don't want to have to cross at this time, but I suspect the board will either be placed in the position of having to vote on the increase in the long-term debt authorization to cover the $75.9 million, not vote on it, in which case the temporary funding will continue through the line of credit, and I guess some adversarial relationship will ensue between WMATA and the various jurisdictions, or third, maybe we'll find some arbitrator or mediator who will bring the parties together and achieve some kind of resolution. But I think we'll let the good offices of the parties try to reach out to work out a resolution over the next few months.
If I could, we have been working very closely with the jurisdictions. I think we're very close, and we'll continue to do that. So I do anticipate us not being able to get to a solution in the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I understand the uncertainty of some around this. I think that this, the general manager has given us what he needs in terms of this budget. And I think the only thing we're saying today is that we are willing to respond to that need. We're willing to wait and negotiate until we can find a resolve to the 75. And I just simply expect that those involved in that will do their due diligence to get there, get us there. And so I think for some of us, we might want to question why it's in that position. I think those are things that we can work through and need to think about how that happens. But we're looking at two things. We're looking at, one, what is it that it takes with this budget in order to run the system at the level that the general manager is seeing? And secondly, are we willing to support it? And now what is the level of support and where will it come from?
Thank you.
I too had enormous concern about this. I talked to the general manager, so I'm prepared to go along with his recommendation. But Paul, maybe you could explain to us, how did some jurisdictions get here and others didn't? So we had a lot of time, talked to the district, 100% on board. For the most part, I think Virginia's on board, and yet Maryland's not on board. And now we have to delay this another 3 weeks. What happened that they can't get on board when the other two jurisdictions? It's a very simplistic question, and I haven't been that involved in it. I just don't understand how the two jurisdictions can get on board and Maryland can't get on board. And now we have to delay all this.
Sure. They have a legislative auditor through Annapolis that is they're basically responding to, and they need more information to support that request. That's the bottom line.
Well, why didn't they ask for it like
2 months? I think it came fairly recently. These requests came from the auditors, so it is what it is.
Yeah, and just to actually kind of put this in perspective a little bit, as some board members may recall, Tom certainly does, 4 or 5 years ago, the jurisdictional contributions were not getting spent, okay, and then there was a change in how the capital funding agreement was set up. And there was much more kind of, you know, accountability built into that in terms of the timing of those contributions, and the concern had been that the jurisdictions had, you know, other capital requirements with their general operations. They wanted to make sure that the money was getting spent. It wasn't, you know, accumulating, you know, in balances. And so now this is, I think, in a demonstration we moved out of that era, and there was kind of a, you know, an overcorrection. This is actually kind of a good problem to have, and I think with the disclosure of the information, I would assume in working in good faith, Maryland will come around on this. So I think this is actually a demonstration that we've gotten into an era where the capital deployment is more efficient. The funds aren't just sitting, you know, on balances, you know, unassigned to live projects that are moving forward. So you guys use the short-term financing to keep the projects moving. That's good that you haven't done anything wrong. I think it's just a matter of getting the information to Maryland, and then we move on. There's not going to be any additional transaction costs if this is resolved in the next 3 weeks. So I don't think that this is a crisis. I think it's an evolution, and I think we should try to work it out.
Okay. Mr. Christine?
Just to follow up on that just a little bit, what would be the timing, or what is your planned timing for the issuance, and whether or not this delay would have an impact on that?
The timing contemplates assuming board approval, going to the jurisdictions over the next 120 days for them to make decisions with respect to these to some of these issuances, and whether or not they're going to advance for cash or allow Metro to go to the capital market. So to the extent that this is resolved in the short run, there will not be an impact. If it drags on much longer, that's when all bets are off.
Good. Further questions?
So I would just put out there, should we approve this budget today if we're really not certain what we're approving? Would it and I know that causes hardships for the agency if we do that, but if we're coming back in a month to ask for an adjustment,
we will still recommend board approval, committee approval, and hopefully board approval of the budget to allow us to begin the process. Because if it's not approved, then we will not, the 120 days does not start counting. So an approval today will be advantageous to Metro to initiate that process, and we can add to that. As you recall, we will be coming to the committee again with actual documents, and so an approval today is highly encouraged.
Very good. Just one more question for you that I have. When I went through the materials, there's a slide that's entitled Appendix FY 2018-2023. Capital investment by year, and it shows for rail cars the spending in the range of 500 to 548 million over the four-year period FY18 through FY21 each year, and then it drops down to a range of 2 to 225 million. Does the higher level at 528-25 reflect the period for delivery of the 7,000 rail cars?
Yes.
And so the final rail cars would be delivered sometime during the FY 2021 fiscal year? Is that what this is showing?
Yes. Obviously, there are other projects and programs within the rail car category, but the cash flow for the rail cars is represented in that time period. I should point out there are expenses and payments after the rail cars are delivered and accepted for warranty and other milestones after they're in service.
I guess that's where I'm driving it. When will the last of the 7,000 series rail cars be delivered?
I'll have to get back to you with a specific date that's assumed in the program.
And then still sticking on this six-year plan, when the funding level under rail cars drops to 207 to 225 million, what does that cover? Since there's no rail cars being delivered at that point, what is the
primary expenses there are in the rehabilitation and maintenance of rail cars, and also in maintenance facilities for rail cars, so the rail yards and associated facilities.
Is there a specific series that requires a midlife overhaul at that point, or is this just reflecting ongoing maintenance and upkeep of the fleet?
This is primarily the ongoing annual rehabilitation and maintenance of the fleet. We also have within the category placeholder funding for the replacement of the 2 and 3K railcar fleet. You'll recall we have included that as a D&E program in FY18.
I do recall that.
And funding ramping up for that program in the latter part of the six-year period.
So that's included in some of these numbers for
yes.
22 and 23?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Any further questions? All right. The motion made to approve the FY18 capital improvement program and the one-year extension of the capital funding agreement. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The secretary shall record that it was voted out of the Finance Committee unanimously. Is Mr. Price on the phone?
No.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to the second item, the debt authorization. If you want to just summarize what are the issues involved there, since the initial presentation was made at the earlier meeting of the Finance Committee earlier this month in March.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, as Mr. Johnson just mentioned, the capital delivery performance has improved significantly compared to prior years. And to continue to support those programs, staff is attempting to make sure there's adequate cash and liquidity to support those capital programs. And so this item asks the board the committee authorization for three things. One is to refinance some of Metro's outstanding debt in order to reduce the current amount of debt service that the jurisdictions are actually paying. The second thing that we're asking for is to increase the line of credit by $100 million, again, to get us to about 60 days of cash flow, primarily, again, to support the capital program, and finally, to issue new debt to support the FY23 capital program that the board just approved in the amount this time of $499 versus the $575 million that were originally proposed. The only difference, again, is the temporary reduction of the $76 million that we just discussed. With that, Mr. Chairman, we'll seek committee approval of the three resolutions before you. Thank you.
Very good. For the chair, council, should we deal with this as three separate resolutions, since they three separate votes, and vote on them separately? Thank you. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion first to authorize the general manager and the CFO to seek refunding of $220 million of the existing Series 2009 A and B bonds for purposes of refunding. Can I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion on the refunding? Mr. Bolger.
I wanted to bring up a subject that I brought up years ago was, Dennis, we've got Wells Fargo and Bank of America on our short-term debt, right? Letters of credit?
That's correct.
Okay, we used to have one other one as we discussed it. What I'm interested in is, have we explored the possibility that our banks in the metropolitan area could service our short-term letters of credit?
Yes, we have, and we continue to do so. We've reached out to a couple of the regional financial institutions. Some of them have obviously capacity limitations, but as soon as we can get one into the program, we will certainly do so.
Can a consortium of our regional banks be put together that we're not dealing with Charlotte, North Carolina here, where Bank of America and Wells are located?
I should point out that we actually do have regional banks in the program, either in terms of direct deposits,
right,
that are in those organizations, or actually certificates of deposit. So we do deal with regional institutions, but when you come to the lines of credit, mm-hmm. We have so far not been successful in attracting a regional player.
Well, I would hope that our regional banks would step up, and community banking is a big deal for me. And I brought this up like 3 or 4 years ago before you came to work at WMATA, before our general manager was here, and we didn't get anywhere. So it was like dropped through the cracks. Nobody ever talked about it anymore, and I'm bringing it up again, Mr. Chairman, as an initiative that I think makes sense.
Thank you, Mr. Bolter. Other questions on the $220 million debt refinancing resolution? Just to be clear, this is not an action that will increase WMATA's long-term debt. This is an action that will allow WMATA to take advantage of changing interest rates and maintain the same level of long-term debt, but at a lower interest cost to the agency and to the various jurisdictions. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Very good. Any other discussion on the $220 million refunding? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes. Thank you. The second issue we'll take up is the long-term debt authorization. So do I have a motion to authorize the general manager and the chief financial officer to seek to negotiate long-term bonds in the amount not to exceed $499.3 million? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All right. Let me just point out for the benefit of the members and the public that once we approve this resolution, assuming the board approves it this afternoon, we will not be done with this long-term debt matter because the resolution contains a resolved clause that requires the staff to bring back to the board the total amount of the proposed issuance, principal plus anticipated cost, and the terms of the proposed issuance for final review and approval before bonds may be issued. So I suspect, in terms of timetable, you would expect to be coming back to the board sometime in the June or July period before the August break for final approval before going to market. Is that correct? Thank you. Ms. Porter.
In terms of the negotiations, my understanding is if it gives you authorization to negotiate, that the board would have to act again in order to actually authorize the issuance of these long-term bonds. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's what I just
said. And so in your discussions with the potential funders, you could broach the subject of them actually issuing a higher amount, assuming that the concerns that the jurisdictions have been involved by that you could actually discuss with them potentially going 75 or 76 million higher than that, did you not?
We can.
Okay. So that you could, when you came back, you could come back with a full amount, and it wouldn't actually cause any delay in the process that we would normally have.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Porter. Stormshow.
Can you just comment on how these two actions, the capital budget assumptions and the kind of financing strategy interact with the FTA reimbursements? Has there been a change in the timing of those reimbursements, or how does that factor into what we're doing here with regard to the capital program?
So there has not been a change in the reimbursement expectations. Based on our latest conversations with FTA, we are the timeline that we shared with the board some weeks ago is still the timeline. As you recall, we are slightly more conservative than FTA is. Based on what they've shared with us, we've built in additional time just in case things slip, either on their side or on the Department of Labor side. So that part of it has not changed. And so the cash flow projection that we shared with the board has not changed. With respect to this financing itself, the majority of the financing goes to either the proposed FY18 budget or what was authorized for FY17, which is $58 million, which, you know, if you aggregate those, that's really where the majority of these are going, and they will support the capital projects. So in essence, you know, this financing is in line and consistent with our expectations on AFTA reimbursement.
And the increase in the short-term financing capacity will help with any adjustments. And also, you've reached some sort of agreement with them to advance more recent projects for reimbursement and kind of move beyond some of the older projects where the documentation was suboptimal?
That's correct. So the increase in short term, as you recall, because FTA is on a reimbursement basis, so we actually need cash to pay up front to get that. And with the increased delivery, we need actual money to make sure that those projects continue to go ahead. And ultimately, the authorization that's provided to the general manager will allow us to make whatever internal adjustments are necessary to actually shift those prior expenses to areas where we can more readily account and appropriately get reimbursements for those. That's correct. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? All right. Then we're voting on the second old item, issuance of the Series 217 bonds in the amount not to exceed $499.3 million. All in favor of that authorization for the General Manager and the Chief Financial Officer, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you very much, committee. All right. The final item is the increase in the line of credit capacity to support operating and capital investments. The current line of credit cap is $250 million. The resolution would increase that to $350 million. Entertain a motion for approval of that resolution. A second?
Second.
Discussion of the increase of the line of credit. Mr. Boulder.
As we discussed in our conference call, this is going to be a race to the finish, right? I mean, the Feds have already penciled in two more interest rate hikes besides the one that is dead. And so, as I understand, this defeasing the 2009 bonds and is going to culminate in, like, mid-summer at the earliest?
Yes. Again, should the board approve, and the market remains favorable, we expect to do whatever we can to accelerate that process. But ultimately, it will depend on where the market is and whether or not it's still favorable to do it or not at that time.
So do we have financial advisors helping us with this transaction?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll get back to us if it doesn't look favorable or it's marginal, you're going to let us know?
We'll certainly do so.
Thank you.
Quick question. The short-term borrowing, we're not going to close on that until the summer. I thought we were anticipating spring.
The line of credit,
right,
we expect to conclude over the next 30 days.
Okay.
The refinancing, we expect to, again, subject to where the market is, to be aggressive with that. The long-term debt issuance is the one that will require.
Sure.
That's correct.
I'm sorry, I thought Mr. Bulger was talking about the line of credit.
We've drifted back and forth between the various issues. We don't have very narrow,
not a linear conversation.
Robert's rules of orders enforced right now. A question just on one of the slides in response to Mr. Rooms' question. It's the slide entitled Debt Profile, slide number 11. And the exercise we're going through is to raise the short-term borrowing to $350 million. But this slide shows that once the long-term debt financing is completed, the actual short-term debt will, in the line of credit debt, borrowing will be at a level of 75.9 million. Is the assumption there that all of the FTA reimbursements from the prior periods will have been received by then so that you can bring down the line of credit debt from the $350 million that will be authorized in 30 days down to $75.9 million?
That's correct.
And so if the FTA doesn't come through, then we would have to add another $200 million or so in terms of how much would be still outstanding on the line of credit.
Yeah, if the FTA, if we are unsuccessful in getting fully reimbursed, yeah, the amount of short-term debt outstanding at that point will likely vary from what you're seeing here.
And I guess the final question is the short-term debt, the other one shown there is the 216, those are the GANS notes, the grant anticipation notes?
That's correct.
And when, what's the payoff date for those? When are those due?
The expectation is that those will be paid off over the next 2 years. And we, as you know, it is structured in a way that we continue to make quarterly deposits to an accrual fund that will pay it off in that timeline. And again, depending on how things play out, we may be slightly ahead of that curve.
And at the end of that period, when the GANS notes are paid off, would you have to draw further on the line of credit back up to replace it, or is it your anticipation that the long-term debt financing and the other steps you're taking would be sufficient so that it wouldn't require a further drawdown on the lines of credit at that time?
We, again, how the line of credit is deployed is a function of everything else that's going on. It's dynamic as this committee has seen over the last few years. Our expectation is that the authorization that this committee is providing will be sufficient to address all the needs that we see in the near term.
I understand your answer. I'm just trying to understand what your mental assumptions are as to where we would be at that point in time with the new debt profile.
That's yeah. I'm struggling. Yeah. I'm attempting not to speculate in terms of, you know, where we'll actually be. What I think was more important is that we will have that facility available to be utilized to the extent that it's needed, but I don't know if we will, in fact, need it. And if we don't, we would recommend to this board what we did last time, which is actually to reduce it so that we don't continue to pay availability fees.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson?
How much money is this going to save? Meaning moving all of it, the whole thing, you know, moving out of some of our shorter-term borrowing. I mean, how much money do you anticipate that this will save?
So the last time when we reduced it, we saved about $1 million. It depends on how much you use. I mean, you because we do not have a rainy day fund, you need and don't have a fund balance. You need the ability to be able to meet obligations as they come due. And that's really what the line of credit does. The savings comes from how you deploy it. You will pay availability fees, but in this particular case, we've tried to be judicious in how we deploy it and reduce it when we don't need it.
Follow-up questions? Mr. Rosen? Follow-up questions? Fine. Any further questions? All right, we'll put it to the question. All in favor of increasing the line of credit from $250 million to a cap of $350 million to support the operating and capital investments of the authority? Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Gentlemen, I believe we've concluded the business of this committee. We look forward to acting on it as a full board this afternoon. I believe Chair has some business regarding an executive session to bring forward at this time. Is that school you went to still in it? Oh, my God. I thought only Big Ten teams were left.
Okay.
Mr. Evans.
In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters. Pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection A, budgetary matters that may affect legal positions, WMATA contracts, or sensitive relationships with local jurisdictions or the federal government, and H, development of a WMATA position or strategy on pending or proposed federal or state legislation. I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll adjourn upstairs immediately to the board executive session.